This is Community Voices on 91.9 UIS. I'm co-host Randy Eccles. Today we go to just a little north of downtown, the East Park neighborhood. There are gardens there, community gardens, public gardens. We have Carrie Smith with us. What's the official name of the organization?
It's the East Park Neighborhood Gardens.
East Park Neighborhood Gardens. You're the executive director for the group?
Yes.
Before we find out more about the gardens, tell us about a couple events you have coming up so people can jot that down on their calendar right away.
On May 30th at 11:15, we have yoga with Emily LaVault. On June 6th from 5 to 7 p.m., we have our garden jamboree, which is free food, entertainment, and face painting. The yoga is also free. We also have an equine visit coming up, a therapy horse, on July 11th from 10 to 11:30.
Great opportunity to go out and do different things at the garden. Enos Park Neighborhood Gardens. Are they fundraisers or are they engagement events?
Well, we like to do a lot of outreach. We see a lot of gardeners at our garden, of course, but we also like to invite non-gardeners into our space as well. And these are the events that, especially our garden jamboree, really try to give back to the community. People in the community have given to us. So all free. Donations, of course, always welcome, but never required.
Tell us a little bit. Enos Park has been a neighborhood that's been redeveloping. Its location now, I think, is seen as something really positive with the hospital district and being just north of downtown. How did the neighborhood gardens emerge?
This started with an initiative with Coomler United Methodist Church and the pastor, Corey Blackwell. And this was well before my time. They just wanted a place in the neighborhood to give people in the neighborhood a chance to garden together and to be able to form community if possible.
I participated years ago in a community park in Chicago, met a ton of people. I had no idea who they were on the first day. By the second time we met, we were all becoming really good friends. Is that a key part of a community garden, is just getting to know folks in the area?
Absolutely. It just really gives neighbors the context to form relationships. And not just neighbors, you know, we have a lot of people who live outside the Enos Park neighborhood who come in and volunteer. It's a place where people can find other people who are interested in the same kinds of things. Many of our volunteers are experiencing loneliness. We have a loneliness epidemic, sometimes also grief and trauma. The neighborhood gardens are just a really good place for people to relax, be in a calming environment, a safe place.
There are things like the conservatory where you could go see things at a garden. That's not what this type of garden is. This is a garden for people to get their hands dirty in, right?
Absolutely. We have several parts to our garden, and our main focus is raising food for our community. We have 30 raised beds in our communal area. If you come to volunteer, chances are that's where you'll be doing planting, weeding, harvesting, those kinds of things.
It's a garden for everyone that has to be maintained and taken care of throughout. Are there separate little plots that people can have for themselves, or is it all community?
In addition to our 30 beds in our communal garden, we also have 21 personal plots that are available for rent for $10 per year. We also have 6 beds in a wheelchair accessible garden that are also for rent for $10 per year.
Where is it exactly?
We're located at 1022 North 5th.
Let's say this sounds interesting to me, but I want to do my own garden, one of those plots you're talking about, for $10 a year. Is it just up to me what I plant, or are there restrictions, or is there help? How does it all work?
We have assignments for our plots, and they've been rented this year. We do have a waiting list for 2027. Once you're signed on, it is, I wouldn't say a free-for-all, but it's pretty much up to you what you want to grow. We have a few restrictions, like, you know, don't plant sunflowers, it'll shade your neighbor's garden, things like that. Perennials, please ask before you plant mint and things like that. We're pretty open to what people want to plant. Some people plant nothing but flowers, some people plant nothing but vegetables, herbs. Sometimes it's a mix.
Why is there a restriction on mint?
There's not a restriction on mint. I just ask that people ask permission first. Mint is a very aggressive grower, and so it will grow everywhere.
It'll jump.
It will jump.
Yeah, we hear about that with some of the corn seed and different agricultural stuff at times. Most people, do they opt for a personal plot or the communal garden?
It really depends. There's pros and cons of both, as far as if you're someone who really loves gardening in spring, but you really don't like hot weather, definitely come and help out in our communal garden, because we need tons of help in the spring getting our crops in. Then when it's really hot, it's totally fine if you want to take a break. And you can't really do that if you have a personal plot. Personal plot really needs attention on a weekly basis.
A little bit better if you're not sure the time commitment you can make to go for the communal to start with.
Sure. There's also the thing where you're not planting exactly what you want in the communal garden. We have a garden plan that we follow. At the same time, we share a harvest with our volunteers every week. You may not have been there when we planted garlic, but you are there when we're harvesting garlic scapes. You still get a share of the harvest.
Mostly food is in the communal garden.
Food and herbs and some flowers, yeah.
Depending on the time of the year that growth is ready to be harvested.
Oh, yeah.
Depends on when you might be able to take something home. How do you determine who gets to take what?
What we do is we just do a general harvest of what we have. Then we allow volunteers to take what they need. We've never really had anybody who takes too much, so people are very considerate about taking what they need.
Nobody's taking it to the farmer's market and then selling it, or?
No.
Okay. And yet you do have your own type of farmer's market at the gardens, right?
Yes. We offer a free farmer's market starting in June, going through the end of August, and that's on Saturdays at 10 o'clock, from 10 to 11. Although if you definitely want produce, get there closer to 10.
What kind of food has people planted? Garlic, you mentioned.
In our communal garden, we're already starting to harvest a generous amount of produce. We have planted radishes, garlic, onions, chard, kale, collard greens, mustard greens, beets. We've been planting a lot.
Do you have to do things like alternate what you plant each year? Is that better for the soil?
Rotating crops helps disrupt pest cycles, so we do try to do that. It's a pretty limited space. As far as if we had 3 acres, it'd be a lot easier to rotate. When you have 1,000 square feet, it's a little harder.
That's a pretty tight space for a community garden, right? Is there hope to expand at some point?
I don't think so. We're pretty maxed out on space. We're located on a total of 1/3 of an acre. Yeah, and we have a lot of other things in our garden as well, besides the communal garden that takes up some space.
The scale of a lot of homes gardens to some extent.
30 raised beds is probably more than a home gardener might have. It really just depends on your time and your energy. But we also plant all of that 1,000 square feet. Every square inch is hopefully planted in something.
If somebody is interested in gardening but isn't sure they want to do it there, they'd like to do it at their house, can they still come get advice or anything like that at the community garden?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we never mind giving advice. We often have seedlings donated this time of year also. We are definitely open for people stopping by during our public hours.
How did you decide to get involved with the community garden?
Leadership within our neighborhood was looking for someone to take over the garden back in 2019, and I think I was like the 4th or 5th person they asked, but I was very excited to be asked.
And it's the Enos Park Neighborhood Garden. I keep saying community because that's basically the
function. It is a community garden, yeah.
Yeah, but it is the Enos Park Neighborhood Gardens. Again, the address?
1022 North 5th.
And if somebody wanted to take a look at some of the events you have or programs, where would they find that?
Our most up-to-date information is on our Facebook page, but we also have a website, enosparkgardens.org.
I looked at that and had some great pictures of what's going on and a good list of events. When you look at the development of community gardens and neighborhood gardens, what role does that play in our urban life?
A couple of different aspects. One is the food that's produced. Like in my neighborhood, there's not a lot of affordable grocery stores, so a lot of people get their groceries from the dollar store, which does not have vegetables. One big thing is our produce that we create there. We also have free strawberry you pick, and that extends to our raspberries, blackberries, and black raspberries, and grapes later in the year. Organic fruits are usually very cost prohibitive for most families. Another aspect is definitely the community that can happen there. People who get together, they form friendships, and sometimes there's activism involved. A lot of our volunteers are volunteering for other organizations. If someone is new to Springfield, it's a really good way to hook into what else is going on here.
If somebody would want to find out more about the Enos Park Neighborhood Gardens, how would you suggest they get started? Do they just show up? Do they?
Sure, absolutely. We are open Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays from 9 to 11. Those are our volunteer hours and our public hours. If you want to come by for seedlings or strawberries or to meet people or to see, just walk around and check it out, that's a good time to come.
How did you get started? You mentioned becoming the director.
That I was asked by our neighborhood association to lead the garden. And at first I was working 6 hours a week doing that and asked if I could grow the organization and have. This is my eighth season. We incorporated as a nonprofit last year, mostly for ease of grants. It's going really well.
Congratulations on that good work there. What do you need when you're doing a community garden? What type of support is needed? You said grants can help. Mm-hmm. You need seeds, obviously, but what is it that you need?
Grants are really helpful. Donations are helpful. We're pretty much able to find any kind of grants that we need for our programming. We have some very generous grantors in our community. We try to ask locally more than pie-in-the-sky grants, things like that. We do take seed donations. We use those for our garden as well as distribute to our greater community. We've just had a tool donation by Greenview, which is always helpful. We've had seedling donations. Most recently, Wild Birds Unlimited donated their seedlings at the end of their plant sale, those kinds of things. But honestly, what we need most is just people, volunteers to come and to help out, because the more volunteers we get, the more food we're able to make.
I would think that it would be a fun thing to get involved with. Like you said, getting to know the neighborhood and meeting new people, but also getting food. Have you had any stories of unusual happenings? You hear things where people get involved in organizations and, oh, it led to a marriage.
I don't know of any marriages, but there's definitely some good friendships that have come out of this, for sure.
Are you a part of an organization of community gardens? Are there other people you can talk with for tips?
There's no formal organization in Springfield, but the other community gardens, we definitely are in touch with each other. We share resources. We definitely support each other. Some people seem to think that we're competitors, but we are absolutely not. We are cooperative. What's better than more community gardens? There isn't anything better than more community gardens.
So I understand you have something new at the gardens?
Yes. Over the winter, we finally built our new greenhouse. It's been 3 years in the making. We had donations and grants from over 40 individuals and organizations to get to this goal. It's too late to start anything really in the greenhouse this year, but we will be operational in 2027. Our intention is to provide a lot of extras. So we have extra vegetables for our neighbors and extra native pollinator plants for our neighbors.
Greenhouse means that you'll be able to grow throughout the year.
Yes, we probably won't start until January, so it won't be a 12-month operation, but we will start early in the year so we have starts ready for spring.
When you say that, does that mean every year you'll start in January, or does it mean that there are periods of time where you won't use the greenhouse?
Yes, we'll start in January. Our garden season usually ends around the end of September or mid-October. Then there's some resting that happens before we start again in January.
Some downtime. Appreciate you sharing that with us. Have to look for the new greenhouse next time we drive by. We appreciate Carrie Smith joining us today from the Enos Park Neighborhood Gardens. She's the director there now, who has been telling us about the volunteer organization and the different things that are needed. Is there anything else you'd like to leave us with to make sure people know?
Sure, if you don't mind me talking a little bit about our programming.
That'd be great.
So we have children's programming that is all free, provided by the garden. We have a Kids Fair Garden Club that takes place on Mondays at 4 p.m., which will switch to 10 a.m. starting in June, and that goes through mid-August. We also have ecology classes called Eat a Rainbow, and that begins Thursdays at 10 a.m., starting June 11th and also ending in mid-August. These are both led by Alana Reynolds, who's one of the most amazing children's teachers I've ever met. We also have a storybook contest with prizes from Kidseum. Once you get on site, I'll show you how that works. We just started something called Grow with the New Me, which is a partnership with Individual Advocacy Group. They provide day programming for individuals with intellectual disabilities. Our partnership includes 5 wheelchair-accessible garden beds for individuals from their organization to be able to use and learn new skills. That's also taught by Alana Reynolds.
Sounds like a lot of fun to be had out there. I was always happy when I got to join along with my mom to go do some gardening as a kid. So
absolutely.
Sometimes I know when I was in the Chicago area, there's not a whole lot of yard for some apartment buildings. So being able to find a community garden on a block is really helpful. Enos Park has had one for several years with the Enos Park Neighborhood Gardens. Carrie Smith, thanks again for joining us on Community Voices. A couple events you mentioned at the beginning. Could you mention those again real quickly and their dates and times?
Sure. We have yoga with Emily LaVault, May 30th at 11:15. We have a garden jamboree on June 6th from 5 to 7 p.m. with free food and entertainment and face painting. And we are going to be visited by a therapy horse on July 11th from 10 to 11:30.
Thanks for joining us here at the studios at NPR Illinois.
Thank you.
This is Randy Eccles. I'm joined by Community Voices co-host Jeff Williams. Jeff, you joined us not too long ago, and now we're looking for a co-host to join the team. What would you tell somebody thinking about applying?
For me, it was cool learning a lot of different things to be involved with NPR Illinois. Man, that's really cool to be able to be part of this, where we're bringing things for the community to the community. Having somebody who has that sort of a mindset that they want to contribute for the person who really is invested in their community.
Help us all get to know our neighbors. Apply to be a Community Voices co-host by May 25th, 5 p.m. at nprillinois.org.
Get on it.
Community Voices has brought over 3,000 segments to you in our first 5 years. That's a lot of neighbors, organizations, and events to get to know. But there's nearly a 500,000 people in Central Illinois, so there's a long way to go. Help us. Suggest a guest. Email communityvoices@nprillinois.org. Get to know all of our neighbors with Community Voices, weekdays at noon and 10 p.m.